presentation.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
Good day, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh Radio broadcast. My name is Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merritt Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merritt Island. And so today we're going to take you back in the Word to Isaiah, the 27th chapter. Yesterday we talked about the Word and its effect on our spiritual enemy, that Satan is a defeated foe, and we need the Word of God to be a powerful force in our life. And so I pray that you will avail yourself of the Word of God at every opportunity. I was talking to my mother-in-law a little over a week ago, and she was describing the channel that she was listening to, and she said, "Wow, it's just got incredible praise and worship music on it." And I was like, "Oh well, I have a feeling I know which station you're watching," and she's got a different satellite provider than what we do. And so I turned it on and I said, "Well, is this what is broadcasting on your—" "Yeah, that's what it is." I said, "Oh yeah, you'll hear some great praise and worship music on there." My mother-in-law is homebound. She can't get out and travel the roads very well. And so she does her best to feed herself spiritually by watching Christian television just about 24 hours a day. And so praise God for the many different mediums that he has given to us to avail ourselves of the Word of God and to strengthen ourselves spiritually. So we're going to take you back to Isaiah 27 today. I want to say thank you to Creative AC Solutions, Bill Andriak. Now, here's the phone number. And in fact, I'll tell you, I'm getting ready to give you the phone number here in just a moment, because I have run across so many people with AC issues this year that you need a good, reliable air conditioning repairman. And if you're in the central part of the county, he's pretty much condensed into the central Brevard County area here. But his phone number is 759-3284, 759-3284. And he's a great guy, loves Jesus, and loves to help people stay cool in the summertime. So if he can be a blessing to you, write that number down. Here's the number once again, area code 321-759-3284. So let's go back to Isaiah 27 today. We may not spend as much time on just a few verses as we did on yesterday's broadcast, but in verse number 1, it says, "In that day, the Lord with his severe sword, great and strong, will punish Leviathan the fleeing serpent, Leviathan the twisted serpent, and he will slay the reptile that is in the sea. In that day, sing to her, a vineyard of red wine, I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. Fury is not in me. Who would set briars and thorns against me in battle? I would go through them. I would burn them together. Or let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me. Those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud, and fill the face of the world with fruit." And so yesterday we talked the impact of God's word upon our spiritual enemy, Satan. Today I want to talk to you about God's loving compassion and his concern for detail in your life and my life. And so verse 2, he is no longer dealing with our spiritual enemy. Now he is dealing with us as a prized possession, as a project that he wants to see develop and become fruitful. You see, God is not looking to suppress you and I. He is looking to empower us. And so it says, in that day, sing to her a vineyard of red wine, beloved and lovely. I, the Lord, keep it. I water it every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. The scripture talks about that God rejoices with singing over you and I in Zephaniah chapter 3. He rejoices with singing over you and I. You see, we are not just singing forth the praises of Him. God is proclaiming the His love over us. And so I want you to know that God is not up there, you know, shaking His head. If you could see me in this radio studio, you would see I talk with my hands. I've got my facial expressions going on. There's nobody in here to see this. My wife came to the radio studio with me one time, and she was just kind of sitting back and watching me, and she said, that was actually quite funny watching all of your hand motions and your facial expressions and all of that. And it's like, yeah, thanks, honey. Well, I'm fully engaged in the process. And so God is singing over you and I. He's not up there with His head in His hands and rubbing His temples and saying, what are they doing? No, He is proclaiming His love over you and I. I watched a message one time. I believe you pronounce his name Louis Giglio, and he had taken some of the sounds from outer space, different. Phenomena, spatial phenomena, and had recorded the very frequencies, the various frequencies that were taking place as a result of that. And he kind of put them all together, and when he merged them together, he started playing it. And then as those frequencies that were taking place, they were too faint or of the wrong frequencies for our audible ear to be able to hear them without these telescopes that were reaching into space and being able to pull these sound waves out of the heavens. But he took these recordings and he merged them together, and then he started singing how great is our God to them. How great is our God. And you know, the Bible says that the heavens declare the glory of God. And He is singing over you and I. We've had the thrill now for the past couple of months to have a newborn in our life again. And that is not our child, but our grandchild. And my daughter-in-law is on a worship team here in Brevard County. And all during her pregnancy, she would be listening to these praise and worship songs. And so our grandson, as he was growing inside of her womb, he would be hearing those praise and worship songs. And here's what they found, that whenever he is quite distressed or upset, that if they will take her iPhone or iPod or whatever it is that she has, and she begins to play the praise and worship music that he was accustomed to hearing when he was growing up, that it brings him peace almost automatically. Puts him right to sleep. I mean, it's something that they have found, you know, all over and over again. There's things that people have posted on the internet, ways to put a baby to sleep in 1 minute. And they said, nah, that didn't work for him. That didn't work for him. This works for him. And I want you to know that if you think that God is up there and He is disappointed in you, and that He doesn't want to have anything to do with you anymore, nothing could be further from the truth. He loves you. and nothing will be able to separate you from that love. Now, there is a difference. John Bevere makes this point. He said, there is a difference between my love for a child and my approval of the child's behavior. He said, I will always love my kids, but I may not always approve of what they do. Well, if you can imagine, God creates an atmosphere where he sings over us as his project, a vineyard was planted to bear fruit. And you and I, he wants us established in his word. He wants us established in his love. He wants us established in relationship because he knows that it's going to be fruitful. And part of the atmosphere that he creates for us is an atmosphere where he sings over us and he says, I, the Lord, keep it. Do you realize today that God has personal investment in you? There's a term in economics that's called return on investment. Return on investment. If you go to a new job, they're going to spend a large amount of money that you will never see, but they will be training you to do the job the way they want it done. And they're expecting a productive return on investment. And so God is looking at you. He's investing himself in you. And so he hasn't assigned you to some second rate, heavenly being or whatever. He wants to guard you and protect you. He wants to make you the most fruitful and productive that you could be. No farmer ever goes out and says, you know what, I'm going to plant this plant, but I only want it to produce one, I only want it to return back to me what I have invested in this. No one ever does that. What they do is they say, I want to take every necessary step to make sure that it is as fruitful and productive as it can possibly be. If God is the Lord of the harvest and he's keeping you, how fruitful can you be? I'm telling you that you and I can become more than we are because God is really, really good at his job. And so it says he keeps it. It means he guards it. He goes on and he says, I water it every moment. In other words, he said, I'm going to make sure that it is at the perfect hydration level. Now listen, if it was just constantly having water that came out over and over and the root system may rot and whatever, but he keeps it hydrated. I remember watching a sermon one time on the potter and the clay and how the potter knows exactly how wet the clay needs to be, not too wet so that it would collapse and not too dry that you couldn't mold it and shape it and that it would crack. He keeps it at the perfect moisture level. And so God is making sure that the atmosphere and the climate that we have been planted in is just exactly right to produce growth. You say, well, you don't know what is going on in my life. Listen, I do know this, that in order for a seed that is planted to be productive, it has got to die in a sense, in that it has to be broken out of its shell so that it can burst forth into newness of life. God doesn't want you just coming back as the same way that he planted you. He is looking to transform us, and he's looking for us to be more fruitful. He's looking for us to become more like him. And so he says, I will water it at every moment, lest any hurt it. I keep it night and day. In other words, God never sleeps. He never slumbers. He always has his eye upon you. He's always watching you, good or bad. He's watching you. And then it goes on, and he spends a few verses talking about those who might want to do battle against him. And he says that whatever they do would not harm him. And so after spending verse 4 talking about what his enemies could do, verse number 5 says, but there's another option. Rather than fighting against God, and so let me go back to the atmosphere just a second, and that is, if you and I are going through a challenging season right now, it is not because God is looking to make us uncomfortable. It is because he is looking to propel us to growth. Don't let your problems drive you away from God. Let your problems drive you deeper into God. Let them compel you to pursue him with a greater intensity than you have before. I tell you, I have found that to be one of the most successful strategies to getting the enemy to back off, if you will. If whenever he launches an attack against me, I run to Jesus. And the next attack, I run to Jesus even more. And the next attack, I run to Jesus even more. And I tell you, when he doesn't want us growing in our faith. He wants us stunted in our growth. And so if every spiritual attack is compelling you and I to run harder after Jesus than we've ever been doing, then guess what? He's going to back off, because that's the reverse of what he wanted. God wants us to come to that place where we are running harder after him simply because we love him, not because we're looking to escape the enemy's attack. So verse number 5 contrasts the enemy's approach to God with what other option is available, and that is this: let him take hold of my strength. Let him take hold of my strength that he may make peace with me. And so I just want to encourage you today that you have a strong God, an omnipotent God. There is not a problem that you face that he is not able to help. Now, that doesn't mean that we're going to be alleviated from some of the consequences of our actions. I have known people who had literally gotten away with murder. I don't know them personally. I know their stories where they had literally gotten away with murder. They had killed a person years earlier, and they became a model citizen. They became a Christian. And it was when they became a Christian that all of a sudden they realized, you know what? I need to make this right. And they went to the police, confessed to the crime, and they weren't even on the radar. They weren't even suspected in this crime that had taken place. And listen, they came, they made things right, and they still went to jail. You say, well, how in the world could that? Listen, you're not always going to be able to escape the consequences, but you can escape the guilt and the condemnation by making it right. One of the least talked about principles in God's word is the acts of reconciliation. Listen, if you wronged a neighbor, go back to that neighbor and let them know, look, I did you wrong, and I want to ask you to forgive me, but I don't want you paying for my mistakes. I want to help you. I want to restore to you that which I had damaged you with. It's not talked about often, but it is a valid biblical principle. So you and I, take hold of the strength of God. Listen, I implore you. Here are my pastor's heart today, okay? I implore you, take hold of the strength of God. Don't be feeble in your relationship with him. Don't be hit or miss. Only when there's a crisis do I attend church. Don't have that mindset. Don't wait for a crisis before you run to Jesus. Run to Jesus every day and take hold of his strength, because when you and I are bonded together with his strength, we are fortified in him. And he says, as a result of you taking hold of my strength, you are going to find greater peace in your life. My pastor that I grew up under, he turns 91 this month. And he was a Marine in World War II and was on a ship in the Pacific. And while they were on, while he was on deck of the ship, they ran into a hurricane, and there were a lot of ships that went down. The ship was listing greatly. He said that their instruments measured that if the waves had caused it to list 1 degree more, it would have capsized. I mean, that's how precarious the situation was. But he had developed a reputation while he was in boot camp, and the rest of the soldiers had a saying, and they said, guys, if we get into trouble, run to my pastor, because he belongs to God and God is going to take care of him. And on that day that they were on that journey, he was up on deck and could not get down beneath. And so what he did was he went over to this huge mass, this huge column on the ship, and he literally bound himself to it. The wind was so strong, it could have blown him over, but instead he was in a covenant relationship with you, if you will, to an immovable object, to a piece of metal that was able to withstand hurricane force winds and blasts of water that would have knocked another person overboard. And he said, I survived. I literally rode out that storm on the top of the ship because I found someone stronger than myself that I could connect myself with. You know, a lot of people accuse Christians of being weak. And I want you to know God wants you strong. But he wants you and I to realize that our strength comes from him. I look for people who are smarter than I am so that I can become smarter still. I look for people who have greater spiritual giftings than what I have so that I can operate in those spiritual giftings as well. Don't be so insecure. Don't feel like you've got to be the smartest person in the room. Look at it and say, God, I want to thank you for this opportunity that you have given to me. God, I am so privileged. I'm going to come out. I'm going to emerge out of this meeting today a better person than I was when I walked in. God will give you tremendous peace. I want to close with verse number 6 here. It says, those who come, he shall cause to take root in Jacob. Israel shall blossom and bud and fill the face of the world with fruit. It says those who do come and avail themselves of God's strength, God is going to cause them to take root. He's going to cause them to blossom. He's going to cause them to bud, and they are going to become so fruitful that they will fill the world. Isn't that what the Church of Jesus Christ is supposed to do? We have 7 billion people on the planet. I do not believe that God wants any of them to die without having a presentation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He doesn't want any to perish, but he wants all to come to everlasting life. That's what the Word of God says God's will is. My question to us today is this: how many are we comfortable with not hearing about Jesus and dying and spending an eternity apart from him? Because I don't think we should be comfortable with that number being 1. I challenge our church. It's like, how many people died at the Battle of Ai that caused the nation of Israel after Jericho to come repenting to God and say, God, it would have been better if we had stayed in the wilderness? And I said the answer was 36. And how many people have we seen that have died in our military conflicts and it doesn't give birth to a prayer meeting? How many How many casualties of the civil unrest do we have to see before we cry out for prayer? Okay. I want you to know, tomorrow's broadcast is going to be different. I want to encourage you to join me, because on tomorrow's broadcast, we're going to be praying for our country. Hey, it's the Refresh Radio program. We can pray. Nobody can tell me that we can't. Verse number 11. For it is a people of no understanding. Therefore, he who made them will not have mercy on them, and he who formed them will show no favor. Here in chapter 27, it talks about fortified cities, abundant cities, cities where people dwelt in. There was life that was there. And yet when it came to spiritual matters, it's God said through Isaiah, they have no understanding. And as a result of that, no understanding of what God was doing, of what was happening in their midst, they refused to acknowledge him. They refused to become one with him. They refused to be strengthened by him. They refused to do life the way he wanted them to do life. He said, I don't feel sorry for them. Now God loves us, but we need to quit making excuses for our behavior. We need to understand why we behave the way that we do. What is going on? The sons of Issachar, when the people of Israel came to make David king, it said there were 200 representatives from Issachar. They were men who understood the times, and they knew what Israel should do. We need to get our head out of the sand, and we need to say, God, we're not going to lean on our own understanding. We're going to ask you to help us to understand what God is doing in our time. God wants to forgive us of our sins. Let's pray today. Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that we would not remain ignorant of your ways to make us fruitful. God, instead, I pray today that we would hear you singing over us, God, that we would not be hearing the condemnation there. If any man be in Christ, there is therefore now no condemnation. So, Lord, we want to thank you. Lord, I praise you because you are personally involved in my life. You are personally involved in the ministry of Merit Assembly of God. You're personally involved in the people of this community. God, you are working all things together for the good of those who love you and are called according to purpose. God, you are creating an atmosphere where we are going to grow, we are going to bud, we are going to blossom, and we are going to produce fruit. Lord, may Brevard County be filled with the glory of the knowledge of the glory of the Lord of the Lord. The glory of the Lord. God, I pray that it would not just stop at the county, but it would fill this world. Go out today and restore value to somebody or someone at work. In Jesus' name, we'll see you tomorrow for prayer right here on the Refresh Radio broadcast.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.